This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. It's been less than a week since the city began cracking down on operators who advertise illegal vacation rentals here on Oahu. A legal challenge will go before a judge at a hearing next week. It was filed on behalf of property owners who legally rent for 30 days at a time. Economist Paul Brubaker, who's with TZ Economics, has been watching the developments. He talked with us this morning. He's been asked by the Board of Realtors to talk to members in downtown East Honolulu, the Windward Side, and the North Shore.
The way I was brought up, my grandmother once told me, a farmer would never tell another farmer what to do with his land. And maybe nowadays I should say her land. But the point is, if we still have private property and believe in it, then, yeah, you know, there's a certain amount of elbow room you ought to tolerate among your neighbors because it's their house. But we do have boundaries and guardrails, and that's what, you know, some of these ordinances are supposed to provide.
Right. Now, you've been asked to go talk to the Board of Realtors in various areas around town. I'm just kind of curious. You did East Honolulu, I believe, last week. What kinds of questions did you get from the realtors?
As a consequence, their concerns are that they began to hear very recently, shortly after the passage of the ordinance, that investors wanted to dump their properties, weren't willing to take on the risk of the two things. One of the, you know, the fines. But the most important thing is that evidently a credible threat of enforcement. And we were just talking about boundaries and guardrails a second ago, and we have all these ordinances. Typically, we rely on the credibility of enforcement threats to induce compliance behavior, you know, a behavior that adheres to the intent and the principles underlying the rules that we design. But the reality is the city's resources, literally their fiscal resources, are taxed, haha, no pun intended. I mean, they just don't have enough to do everything. And maybe we ask the jurisdictions to do too much. But the reality is, and very often, it's very difficult for them to actually effect enforcement and therefore create an environment in which the threat of enforcement is credible. And zoning is a perfect example of this. So there are numerous stories. You've told me stories about monster houses and people who build houses on ag land and all this stuff that's going on around. And, of course, for many years, vacation rentals. I mean, the irony of the 2019 vacation rental ordinance is that they were already, you know, quote unquote, illegal since an ordinance in 1989. But the threat of enforcement was not credible. And what's changed here is that in addition to, you know, the fines being more severe, they've built into the ordinance an enforcement mechanism that allows the Department of Planning and Permitting to utilize online advertising information from the hosting apps that have caused an explosion of this kind of use to occur, a subject we should come back to in a second. So it's because of the credibility of the enforcement threat that all of a sudden people managing portfolios of real estate assets, and that's a fancy way of saying everybody's auntie that owned a condo in Waikiki that was vacated, right? That's who the investors are in Hawaii. Everybody's auntie owns a condo. That's how we do rental housing in Hawaii. We don't have large, monolithic, apartment-owning, apartment-renting, you know, Kamehameha Schools doesn't own a bunch of apartment buildings. But that in the rest of the country,
right,
there's some wealthy landowner that owns apartment
buildings. What's auntie going to do?
Well, that's what I'm saying. The realtors are telling me the auntie's selling the condo, or auntie's pulling her hair out because she's augmenting her Social Security. Yeah, I'm talking about our 85-year-old auntie that's had this condo for 3 years. And, right, she saved up her money, and then right before she retired from the state, right, she invested in this condo. And so she's been getting a rental income stream of $1,000, $1,500 a month. Above what she paid in the mortgage, and maybe by now it's paid off. But my point is she's augmenting her retirement income stream with this. I mean, this is a retirement investment.
So you believe it's a serious fear that's out there and that it may prompt people to sell properties that they would have held on to?
Well, this is another one of these disconnects where we make up this argument that it's all these offshore evil Darth Vader, Sith Lord investors from the mainland, you know, Holly guys from the mainland, or the one I love, Chinese investors. I'm like, what? Have you actually seen the data? And so, and of course, we don't want Sith Lords to be investing because they're from the mainland or they're from China. And it's a complete mythology because we invented the condominium in Honolulu so that small investors could participate in the real estate market. You don't have to own the whole building.
So you don't buy that most of the whole home rentals are investors?
It could be. I don't actually know. I'm just saying the democratization of the housing market happened a long time ago in Honolulu. And what hadn't happened is the democratization of the lodging industry. That's what the hosting apps did, right? They made it possible for anybody with a cottage in the back or an addition or a room in their house that they want to rent out to all of a sudden become the Hilton.
Yeah.
And
so before you had
to be the Hilton, you had to have 4,000 rooms at the Hilton Hawaiian
right.
Village to be a player.
So do you have any predictions? What do you forecast will happen as a result of this bill kicking in or the enforcement?
Well, as I say, the theoretical, so let's take the extreme case where everybody sells at the exact same moment, which is like this week. It's unlikely, but I'm saying, as I say, sort of the thought experiment is, so there's two extremes. One is whatever things were like last week, which whatever the values were last week, we'll look at the July or the June. Right now you can look at the June 2019, home sales data for the prices, blah, blah, blah. And it's going to be, $800,000 for a single family home, $450,000 for a condo. Those are the numbers. If that's one extreme, that it just stays like that and we just keep going our merry way. By the way, the equilibrium in this case, great article in the Sunday newspaper, but now I can't remember his name, Brill, I think, retired Honolulu Community College professor of science. What a great article about dynamic equilibrium. That's the path that we're on is the equilibrium. Right now it's 3% house price appreciation per year on the island of Oahu. So prices are actually moving. But that's an equilibrium trajectory. So whatever the forces are at work, whatever interest rates are, whatever investors are doing, that's the path. So that was the path in June. Worst case scenario is everybody sells at the same time, all of these vacation rental units, all the aunties, all the evil Sith Lord investors. And then you have, 7,000 additional housing units on an island where there's only 7,000 condos that transact each year. So all of a sudden they get dumped into the market, prices instantaneously will decline, and we need to come back to that point, but you go to the path, you're already on an equilibrium path, you stay on that path in equilibrium because that's dictated by global capital
right.
market forces, but what you have is a discontinuity, a one-time step down. Now, I said I'd come back to this point. It's not just the condos in your building that are selling. Now your condo in the building, the value of that condo also goes down because of arbitrage. So everybody, in the worst case scenario, experiences to some degree or another, more in the beachfront
right,
neighborhoods.
So the downward pressure.
Downward pressure on home prices. So that's a reduction in wealth. Somebody made you poorer or something made you poorer. And I think the outcome is going to be somewhere between that catastrophic outcome and the no change outcome. There is going to be some change, and we're sort of all waiting to see, by how much it actually matters.
Right. Just anecdotally, I know the lawmaker, Senator Gil Riviere, was saying that, a few months ago he saw 1,400 units advertised on VRBO. That was down to 400 at the beginning of last week, and as of Friday, it was down to around 300.
So then the question would be, what's going to happen to those? What's happening right now as we speak to those 1,000 units? To what purpose are they being repositioned or redeployed as assets?
Right. Anything else that you think we should be looking out for?
I do think there's a broader context in which this is going on that we have to be careful about. So we've moved from a. You have to remember, there was a time in Hawaii from after World War II to about the mid-1970s. So there's a period for about 30 years where you basically could build anything you wanted. And so when I graduated from high school in 1973, there were 14,000 housing units per year, being approximately 13,000 some hundred. So let's say 13,000 housing units annually being authorized by building permit for construction. And the average from 1950 to 1974 was about 7,000 units per year. Today it's 2,500. So all the high-rise towers you see, it's the same as in the 1920s, the 2020s, we're going into the 2020s, we're building the same number of homes as we did in the 1920s with slide rules, with the difference that maybe we're building an additional 300, or we're like 300 higher than 100
years
ago. Well, that's a whole other question. Some people would say it is enough. I mean, the people who think that we shouldn't be building like we did from 1950 to 1975 are all happy. But my point is that we went from that world to a world where we were constraining development, right? We make it very challenging to get in, to acquire entitlement and, you know, have community input, all that stuff. And now we're in a different world. We're in the world where we dismantle productive capacity. So if you listen carefully, and it's not even between the lines, the governor has said for each telescope we build on Mauna Kea, we should dismantle five. That's new ground. That's like if you want to build 800 hotel units at Atlantis Ko'olina, you have to destroy 4,000 lodging. I mean, is that the logic? Because that's what he said about telescopes. Are we in a world now where you have to dismantle productive capacity in order to build productive capacity? I think not, except that he just said that. So who even contemplates that? These are long-lived assets, right? Houses last longer than humans. That's, you know, go to Detroit. Right. You can see what happens when things change and the houses are still standing.
Well, how long do you think before we actually see
The first thing we're going to see is the valuation effects, or not. But I think this other thing we're talking about now, this sort of in the context of the changing character of the host environment for investment, this is a much more insidious additional sort of signal that we're sending to the markets about, you know what, go away. We don't want your capital.
That was Paul Brubaker of TZ Economics. He sat down with us earlier this morning to share his thoughts as the city tries to crack down on illegal vacation rentals.